follow your heart. Or not. What do we do when we can't reconcile our feelings with the truth of God's word? Today is all about the feels, with an easy-to-remember illustration to keep us on the right track. Boop, boop. All aboard the Fact Faith Feeling Train. Next stop, Care-A-Lot. Welcome to the She Proves Faithful podcast, episode number 18, Truth and Encouragement to Live Gospel-Centered Lives Every Day. I'm your host, Lauren Lushak. Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to the She Proves Faithful podcast. It's such a joy to be able to share life with you ladies and to deliver gospel-centered content, things that keep our hearts and our minds set on Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of the Father, who we get to spend eternity with. I love that we get to talk about ways that we can set our affections and our worship on Him throughout our daily living, that everything we do matters, that what we do now in this life echoes in eternity. So thank you for joining me. I have a couple highlights that I wanted to share with you. First of all, my son turns 1 year old this week. I'm so excited. I can't believe it's been a whole year with him. Sometimes I look at him and I think, oh my gosh, why weren't you twins? Like, he's that delightful. And not that my other daughter wasn't. He's just like the all-star baby that slept well and ate well. And so you're like, can we double up here? But I love him. I'm so thankful for him. So he turns one this week and he's starting to say mama and papa simultaneously. So I don't know if he's like calling me or my husband out yet, but especially when you snuggle him, he'll just say mama and then right afterwards papa. So maybe you got to work on directing that. We had some friends over for dinner last night and I got to talk with my friend about the difference between biblical counseling and Christian counseling, and it was actually really fantastic. And it's something that I want to bring her on the show to discuss the difference, because there is, and it's really, really insightful and encouraging and just puts hope back in the power of the gospel. So if you're not following me on Instagram, go to @SheProvesFaithful on the IG, because I give lots of updates on the podcast there, and I'll let you know when she'll be on the show. All right, my last highlight of the week is for everyone who's left me a review on iTunes. It totally jazzes me and keeps me motivated to make time for this podcast, because I'm a stay-at-home mom of two sweet, incredible, juicy babies. Actually, one of them's three, a three-nager, so still juicy and delicious, but not a baby. And my husband's a pastor, and so I'm doing a lot of volunteer work at our church, which I absolutely love. I'm doing the Christmas musical. It's not a musical, but with the little delicious children. I gotta stop saying calling children delicious. That sounds weird. You know what it's from? Meet the Goldbergs. Have you ever seen that show? It's hilarious. Bev Goldberg is the matriarch of the show, and she has three grown children. I say grown, high schoolers. And she's hilarious, and she's called a smother because she is a smothering mother and loves her baby so much, and she just can't see her 18-year-old as not, you know, a baby. So that's kind of how I get, oh, just so excited. Like, she says she has a PhD in nose boops. Isn't that adorable? I love it. Anyway, she does cross the line, but know that she's very dear and motivates my heart to squish my children all the more. So back on track, I just say that sometimes it's hard to steal away time to do these. And I love, love, love giving women gospel-centered truth, because there's a lot of junk out there and there's a lot of stuff that's really difficult to discern. And I'm not saying that I got it all figured out, but I want to give biblical wisdom and encouragement to women that focus our hearts on the gospel and the truth of the word. So pass it along to your friends. And one way you can do that is not only share it in your social media circles, but also a review on iTunes puts it in the light of more and more people. So I want to give a big thank you to Stacey Moe and Ola Duncan for leaving a rating and review on iTunes for this podcast. I love that there's been some binge listening out there. Brings joy to my heart. And I'm so thankful that you guys are encouraged and getting encouragement from the gospel. So it makes my heart very, very happy. But speaking of happiness, That's my segue. Because I'm a solo, I feel like I'm a solo radio host, so I have to like throw my own jokes out there and transitions. But speaking of happiness, Lauren, we're talking about feelings today. That's right. I have to be honest with you, I could not sit through that really cute movie, Inside Out, for a variety of reasons. And you're probably like, you weirdo, everybody loves that movie. It's true. Everybody loves it. But there was something about there that I was like, no. Too much emotion, too much feeling for me. So I'm sorry, there won't be any Inside Out references here. I feel your disappointment leaking into the headphones. All right, so I really wanted to address feelings because I have a lot of them. And I'm really, really good at having feelings. And I like them so much, but sometimes they ruin the show many days. For example, the other night, my heart was saying, Lauren, It's chocolate time. I know it's 10 p.m., but you want chocolate. You need chocolate. Chocolate makes you feel all the feels. You get that chocolate. And I said, you're right, heart. I'm feeling like chocolate. I don't care that it's late. I will follow it. I will follow that desire. I'll follow it real good. And I made one of those little cake in a mug things. Have you ever seen these? It like takes 2 minutes to whip up. It usually has an egg in it and a lot of sugar and a lot of chocolate. They're amazing. You whip it and you put it in the little mug and you put it in the microwave for a minute and it makes a delicious cake. So I made one of those chocolatey chocolate cakes and then I topped it with about 40 dark chocolate chips because dark chocolate is practically a health food. Everyone knows that. I'm basically fighting heart disease one chocolate chip at a time. So I just, 40 points for me, right? I eat every bit of that chocolate cake, but I eat it with my herbal sleepy tea, thinking the tea will somehow cancel out the 1,000 grams of caffeine I just ingested. But I will tell you, 5 hours later, it was 3 a.m. and it felt like there were stadium lights on in my head. There's a tiny lesson here. It's don't follow your heart all the time, okay? Actually, don't ever follow your heart. But in case you wanted to, I'm posting this cake in a mug recipe in the show notes because it is amazing and you need it, just not at 10 p.m. I'm just going to throw that out there like a little Surgeon General warning. Don't ingest this cake too late because you will be up all night. The show notes are at sheproofsfaithful.com/podcast/episode18. Ladies, I'm not here to bash feelings today. I'm really not. But I want to point us to the truth because it's so important, especially in a generation and a culture and a time where feelings trump truth and trump logic and trump reason, that feelings are so important that the truth gets washed away immediately and people can't have logical, rational conversations. And that's just in our culture. But in the spiritual life, in our own world, in the Christian's life, we're letting feelings lead our decisions and lead us away from the Lord because we're not feeling it. We don't feel close to God or we don't feel a certain way about something. So we go opposite direction instead of letting truth be our guide. That's why we're talking about feelings today. So I want to point out that there are a lot of great things about feelings. Like feelings give us all the feels. That's okay. Like, you know, after a long week, you just want to cry sometimes, but you can't just like turn on the waterworks. So you plug on a good old rom-com and let the waterworks flow. You know, you have your backup cry movie where you're like, I just need to get out some emotion. So I'm going to watch a movie and cry. That's okay. And the fact that my son is learning to say mama and papa, and it makes my heart spill over with joy. Praise the Lord that I can feel those feels. That is good. And to even feel injustice or anger at injustice, that is good. That is okay. It's good to feel the feels. And they allow us to be expressive, happy, sad, glad, mad. I mean, they allow us to tell our story. And the Bible is filled with godly people expressing themselves. David dancing with joy. Jesus, you know, after the 72 return, he is full of joy through the Holy Spirit. So there are good ways that we can express our emotions. And you know what? Feelings are also an indicator of deeper things, deeper issues sometimes, and also deeper beliefs. Like the fact that my son is starting to say mama and that overflows my heart with joy is a deeper indicator that I have a love for this human being and that God has made me a mother and I find that important and valuable. And you know what? When I show the emotion of anger about something, it shows a deeper issue sometimes of things that I'm not believing. You know, when my husband does something and it makes me angry, but in not a good way, like it can point out that I'm being selfish or insecure about things. So they're great indicators of our beliefs and even deeper issues. But here's the deal. There's some trouble with feelings. You know, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them on. There you have the facts of feelings. That was off the cuff. Hope you enjoyed that. The trouble with feelings. Here we are. The heart is deceitful above all things. That is straight out of Jeremiah 17. The heart is tricky. The heart is fickle. The heart can lead us astray. And here's the deal. It can also, feelings can become quickly about ourselves. It can be a selfish thing. Our hearts turn inward when we start to let feelings lead us. So we have to be very careful about that. Our hearts collapse inward when they're supposed to turn to the Lord and submit to Him. Feelings can also lead us to a place where we are picking and choosing our theology. Because when we read the word and we don't feel right about it, or there's certain things that make us feel bad, we leave it out. There's an actress who claims to be a Christian, and she is also pro a lot of things. And somebody asked her, hey, I thought this goes against, you know, the Bible. And she said, you know what? My grandma taught me that the Bible is like a piece of fish where you take out the good and you throw away the bones. That is not true. The Bible is not a piece of fish. No, the Bible is the word of God. It is the word that became flesh. We cannot treat the Bible like a piece of fish where we get to decide what is good and then throw out what is bones. No, the whole scripture is God. And you know, if you want to learn more about this, you can go back to my last episode where I talk about sola scriptura, episode number 17. We talk about how the Bible is the authority of God. So the heart, the feelings, there's good and bad. But today we're talking about, is there ever a time when our feelings can trump truth, where they can triumph over truth, where our feelings matter more than truth? Here's the short of it. They do not. Feelings should never triumph over truth. You know, there is a dangerous feeling storm erupting across the Western world. There is this generation growing up that is becoming overwhelmed and easily distressed. I mean, if there was this Myers-Briggs personality type, they would be 100% F only. F is for feeling, if you're not familiar with the Myers-Briggs personality type indicator, but there's usually three more types paired with it, but not for this generation, not for our culture. It's 100% F, and F wins. This generation actually is being called Generation Snowflake, or I'm sorry, the millennial generation, but it's more than that. It's expansive. We're all Generation Snowflake, I think, in the Western world. And good old reliable Wikipedia says that members of this Gen Snow are genuinely distressed by ideas that run contrary to their worldview. They are more likely than previous generations of students to report that they have mental health problems. So apparently this all started about a year ago when this writer, Claire Fox, reported that a short video that had gone viral showed a confrontation between a Yale faculty head and screaming, hysterical mob of students, because that faculty head had requested students not to wear Halloween costumes that might offend minority groups. They were hysterical. And you know what? Like I said, this is not limited to millennials or to youth that have been overprotected. No, I mean, this has been going on for centuries. I just think it's exasperated today because of where we are in this cycle of apostasy in our culture. And just the fact that we have access to hearing about all of these events of this crazy emotional firestorm breaking out over people who hate opposition to their worldview, hate it, and are vehemently against people who want to tell them something different. And you know, this has been going on forever because I've been reading in Acts lately, and I've read about the same hysteria. Those mobs that want to destroy because they are overcome with zealous feelings and they've turned inward and they're imploding on themselves. They're cutting the cord of reason and logic, and they're so invested in their belief and in all the feels that the feelings themselves become the new guiding light or truth. I mean, there's this one story of these people who were saying, chanting, "Long live Artemis," and this guy is trying to give a defense of why he's proclaiming the gospel. And they wouldn't even hear it. They just chanted it for 2 hours straight until finally council guy comes up and is like, I think it was like the town clerk. He's like, "Dude, we're going to get charged for rioting. So let's get out of here." And the guy never got to give a defense for the hope that he had. And so here we are in that same situation so many times. Recently, I've seen a firestorm of don't judge my friend. Like, our feelings for our friends are so overpowering that even if they're walking in lies and even if they're walking away from God, we don't want anybody to judge them and we don't want to judge them. And I'm just going to be real here. Jen Hatmaker, she is a hilarious Christian author and HGTV celebrity star, which is, I think, most Christians' dream, at least females. I don't know. Not me. I would rather be star of a cupcake show. But Jen Hatmaker was recently interviewed and she announced that she believes that homosexual marriage can be holy. Now, immediately, some people cheered and some people gasped. But when authors and pastors and others held up Jen's opinion to the Word of God, the authority of God, telling her that that is not what the Bible says, her friends, so many of her friends came to her aid to tell many, shame, shame, shame on you for attacking Jen Hatmaker. Stop attacking her by telling her what the truth of the Bible says, because she's researched the Bible and she's come to a different conclusion, so we should not attack her. Okay, first of all, telling somebody that you have found that Scripture does not agree or align with what they're saying is not attacking someone. It can be. You can use the Word of God to attack someone, but the Word of God is our guiding light and our truth. And just because somebody holds up what somebody says to the Word of God, which is what you are supposed to do. The Bereans were called more noble than the Thessalonians because they held up what Paul was preaching to the Word of God to know what the truth is. We have to have a standard. So you see this great flood of emotion that people were coming to the aid of their friend because their friend was a really great person and she's a safe place for many people. They love hanging out with their friend, and their friend is funny, and their friend makes them feel good. So we don't want our friend to feel bad, and we feel bad for our friend, so we start saying things that are not true, and we let our feelings be our guide. So this is where we must take a stand and not get caught up in feelings, regardless of what it is. It might be just in your own personal life. For example, my marriage. When Andy and I get into arguments, sometimes I let the feeling firestorm take me captive. And all of a sudden, we're in this deep fight for about 3 hours because I cannot get over feeling hurt. And sometimes, and most of the time, it's just miscommunication. And I'm holding on to a feeling rather than believing the truth that my husband does not want to hurt me on purpose. What's the truth? Does my husband want to hurt me? Does he hate me? Does he not believe the best in me? When I believe those things, the lies, then my feelings overtake me, and that's what leads my decisions. And it just keeps getting further and further and further and further away from reconciliation and repentance. But when I take the truth that my husband has said, "I am for you, I would never hurt you on purpose, I love you," and when I believe those things, reconciliation and repentance get closer and closer and closer. We have to be careful to not get caught up in feeling firestorms, even when we are passionately for friends in our community. And even for our family, feelings never triumph over the truth of God's word. If there's one thing we can take away from that, please, please believe that. And if don't believe me, believe the word of God. Because when or if feelings triumph over the truth of God, then the authority does not lie in God's word, but it lies in the feelings of every individual. If we can decide what truth is based on how we feel about it, then I would decide to not wipe up my kitchen counters. and I would believe that it would lead to a clean kitchen because I hate wiping up kitchen counters. I get all the negative feels when I look at that yellow sponge and that cold, dirty dishwasher stored up, hiding inside of it. And when you squeeze it out, it's so gross. Ugh. I get irritated that I have to continually wipe down something that is going to have 4 million crumbs mysteriously appear minutes after I wipe it. So I'm going to believe, because I hate wiping up the counters, that I shouldn't have to do it and that it will not affect my kitchen, that my counters will still be clean. So see what I'm trying to do here? I'm trying to change the truth with my feelings. I feel a certain way about wiping counters, so therefore I'm going to change the truth. But here's the deal. Just because I feel that not wiping the counters down will lead to a cleaner, happier kitchen does not make it a reality. And I know that sounds silly, and it sounds like such a silly example, but that's the same logic we use when we want our feelings about something to triumph over truth. It will just lead us further and farther from the goodness of God, the holiness of God, the authoritative love of God. So here's some scriptures and questions that I want to ask ourselves when we deal with, but sometimes my feelings are really intense about something. I mean, I want to fight and fight and fight. Just ask me anytime I get in an argument with my husband. I have a strong desire to be right and a strong desire to win. And I want that to happen. So I will fight for it. But this is where we have to ask our questions. Is the truth really truth? So first of all, do you believe that our hearts are prone to wander? Here's what scripture says, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end leads to death. Do you believe that our hearts, our feelings are prone to wander? Do we believe that we will never know the depth of our sinfulness? Proverbs 19:12-13 says, who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from my hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. How can we say our feelings are true and good when we don't know the depth of our sinfulness? Do you believe that God's word is the standard of truth? John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Psalm 119:160 says, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Proverbs 19:7-8 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. God's word is the standard of truth, but do we believe it? Do you believe sola scriptura, that God's declaration in scripture is that it and it alone is the final authority in all matters of faith and morality? That's a big one. A lot of us will wrestle with that. Do we really believe that God's word is the authority that we need to submit all our lives to? If we are disciples of Christ living for God's glory, repenting and being built up in faith, we must make every effort to know the truth so that we can be set free, so that we're not on this crazy, crazy journey of feelings. We need to be free from the rule that feelings often want to impose on us, so that we never have to compromise what is right and good and true and pure just for the sake of a momentary passion. This is the gospel we're talking about. This is eternity we're talking about. Is it really, really worth it? To lead people astray, to leave our families astray, to lead our marriages astray, to lead relationships astray just for a momentary passion of something we feel. Even when that passion lasts a lifetime, what is that? What is 80 years in light of eternity? And I'm not saying we need to be these hard-nosed, angry people that have no grace and no love in our lives. That's not what it is. It's truth and grace. It's truth in love. But we're not sacrificing truth for the sake of feelings or how we feel about something. That's the deal. So here are some areas where I'm personally prone to let feelings win over truth. When Christian friends promote or live out bad theology, or they are living in sin or foolishness. So what does letting feelings win in this situation look like? Oh, well, I don't want to judge her. You know, I have a plank in my own eye, so I shouldn't be so hard on her. You know, everybody's on their journey. Everybody's figuring it out. God will lead her. No, feelings, that's people pleasing. That's being scared of what my friend will think of me if I tell her the truth. Even if I do it in love, even if I do it with grace and kindness, even because I'm doing it so that she sees the light of the truth of the gospel. So her life is worshiping the Lord and not worshiping herself. All right, we're not doing sin sniffing. You know, that's one thing where you're going over to people's lives and flipping over rocks and looking around, sniffing out sin just to be, you know, like a righteous poop. I'm not talking about sin sniffing. We are called to lead people in obedience to Christ. We can't make them obey, but Matthew 28, 18 through 20 talks about teaching people to obey Jesus's commands. Sin destroys. Do we believe that truth in the Bible? That sin destroys lives. It destroys worship. It destroys relationships. That is the truth. So me confronting a friend because she makes fun of her husband in front of people isn't me being judgy. That's me helping my friend live in the freedom of the gospel, to offer our bodies as instruments of righteousness and to build up her marriage, to give God glory. That's what it's about. Okay, so here's another area. When I can't forgive because I am too hurt. I'm living in this right now, friends. I am weak. What does letting feelings win look like in this situation? It looks like turning in on myself and letting a root of bitterness grow and fester. It looks like living in contradiction of forgiving others because God forgave me in Christ. So it's being a hypocrite. I am being a hypocrite. Great. There it is. Jesus, please forgive me. It looks like a path of sorrow and yuck instead of freedom and joy. Because God tells us to forgive because he forgave us in Christ, that our sins surpass whatever somebody else has done. Do we believe that? It all is a faith issue. What do we believe about the depth of our sinfulness? What do we believe about God's glory? What do we believe about God's grace and the gospel? It's convicting. I'm convicted. I'm having a little prayer time, prayer sesh after this. I don't even know what that is. Praying, right? All this to say, this is not about never feeling or never expressing our feelings. This is about submitting our feelings under the Lordship of Christ, that we correct, that we rebuke and encourage because God commanded it. And that even if we don't feel like it, we still forgive because we've been forgiven. And we walk in faith that when we submit to truth over our feelings will eventually follow. And God will ultimately be glorified. So practically speaking, let me give you a little illustration. And I'm going to try to post a video of this, of me walking through this little illustration on the show notes. So yay. All right. If you've ever been to my house, this is probably the first thing my husband has ever said to you because he teaches the fact, faith, feeling train all the time. Here's the illustration. So there's a train and the engine of the train is the facts. It stays on the tracks and it leads the train because it's true. It can make it to its destination. It's on track. The next car in the train is the faith. It's the coal car. We need to fuel that fact engine with our faith. We need to believe that the truth is truth. We put our faith in the facts of God's word so that that engine gets bigger and faster and more efficient in the track of spiritual maturity. And I'm not saying your faith has any implications on what is true. I'm just saying that as we believe that truth is truth, our lives will become more and more filled with glorifying the Lord, that we will be on track, that we will be living in accordance with the gospel and growing in spiritual maturity. And then there's that good old caboose, which is our feelings. And feelings are important, otherwise they wouldn't be the caboose. They are part of who we are, and they give us so much spice to our life. But remember, they are last because feelings are not good decision makers. Feelings are not reliable, and feelings can be very moody. That is one thing I gathered from that Inside Out movie. Feelings can be moody. And if feelings lead the train, we'd be all over the place and we'd never go anywhere because my husband will tell a joke one day and it's hilarious. I love it. And the next day he says the same joke and I'm offended and I'm crying. And I'm like, that was so rotten to say. And he's like, but yesterday you thought it was hilarious, because that's how feelings work. So when we submit to God's word as truth, even if we are having a hard time with it, our feelings will eventually follow. And when they don't, because sometimes they don't, because we're sinful, because we don't understand God, because we live in a limited view of who he is, we need to repent, my friends. Don't let the enemy tell the great lie that God doesn't care about you and that what you think matters and what you feel matters more than the almighty, wonderful counselor, God. I think this all boils down to a good little anthem in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. A lot of you know this. If you don't, memorize these verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. That's a faith, feeling train. That we don't know the truth, that God is truth. We acknowledge that. We lean into that with our faith. And he makes our paths straight. So the next time you're in a situation where the feels are so high and they're leading you to think some things that might not be true, think about the train. What are the facts? Put your faith in the facts. What does the word of God say? And then let your feelings catch up. And I know it's hard sometimes. And sometimes we just have to say, God, please forgive me. I feel totally opposite of what the truth is. And I feel like you're wrong. Please forgive me. Because you are God and I am not. And then finish up your thoughts with a good old dose of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And there you have it. Now look at the facts of today's episode and go over to iTunes and let your feelings follow with a rating and review. No, seriously, it totally helps women find truth and encouragement that is gospel-centered and not man-centered. It is really about Jesus. And don't forget, you can access all the goodies on today's show notes, sheproofsfaithful.com/podcast/episode18. May you prove faithful in all the Lord has given you to do. We'll see you next time.